episode 257, August 15th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Okay, like 30 seconds ago, or the show's about to start, and Robbie says to us, to you specifically, Joe, that he wants to thank Katie and you for recommending Chick-fil-A.
Right. No, it never occurred to him to eat a Chick-fil-A until we told him.
I didn't thank him.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on. I thought that they had told you about some new item on the menu at Chick-fil-A that you went and tried, and then you said no, that is your first time ever going to Chick-fil-A. Now, before you tell if you enjoyed it, you lived in Manassas, where we would go to record the show live sometimes. You know what I did every single night when I left there?
Yeah, I went to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, like I drove right across the main drag right there and went to the Chick-fil-A that's a quarter mile from your house. And you've never been.
No, in my whole life, I told you guys before, the only time I'd ever eaten Chick-fil-A was when they were handing out the samples. The first Chick-fil-A I ever saw in the Annapolis Mall, they were handing out those little samples on the toothpicks. And I tasted it. That's the only Chick-fil-A I'd ever had. And my girlfriend had never had it either. And so Joe and Katie had told us, go ahead and try it. Here's what you ordered. Da, da, da. So we went and took their advice and went to it. I didn't say thank you. I just told them we took the advice. And
oh, God. So you ever see the movie Crocodile Dundee?
Of course.
Remember when he gets a hotel room in New York and the girl that goes, hey, we have TV, and he turns it on and he said, oh, I saw that like, you know, 30 years ago or whatever. He turns it on and I Love Lucy comes on. He goes, yeah, that's the same thing I saw before. That's right. What Robbie was like at Chick-fil-A.
Robbie?
Would you want to know what we thought?
Yes.
We thought the exact same thing. We were like, we understand why people go there. We get it. We understand why it's the most popular fast food place. It's surpassed McDonald's. We get it. But we weren't that impressed by the food. The waffle fries, Checkers fries are way better than their waffle fries. And those nuggets, they're okay. And the sauce is okay. But the thing that's great about the place is the service. The service is crazy ridiculous compared to any other fast food place you go in.
It's like, I promise you that people are not going there because of the service. If you want,
I disagree, Joe.
Well, I don't think they're going there exclusively because of the service. If McDonald's had, if they switched services, yes, it would impact it. But I think that the food is what people go there for.
I've talked to other people who agree with me that it's the service mainly.
No, I understand that. We talk about that. I mean, it's like Birdman. I'm sure that you can find people that agree with you, but people love the food at Chick-fil-A. They love it.
Nobody
agrees
about Birdman.
I think they love both. I mean, when you have good service somewhere, you definitely feel like it just makes you feel better about the experience, which makes the food taste better too.
You know what is weird is that I thought about this. No, obviously their service is great. I don't understand why the service at McDonald's is so shitty. What do they say? What do they say at Chick-fil-A so they know not to act like they act at McDonald's?
I think it's who they hire. I think it's McDonald's will hire anyone and Chick-fil-A won't. I mean, I think
well,
it's
I mean, how do you know
that.
You don't act the way you're not acting the way we like for people to act here at Chick-fil-A?
I think they also must pay better, right?
They probably pay better. I'm sure if you show up to a Chick-fil-A interview, if you're not dressed correctly, if you're in shorts and a flip-flops, you're probably not getting the job. Or you will at McDonald's. They won't care.
I mean, maybe. There's got to be a secret. There has to be something about their hiring practices or their training where they can weed out the people that act the way that they do at McDonald's. By the way, I went to Chick-fil-A. I know you've seen this. They make their employees stand outside and take your order. This is before you get even up to the drive-thru.
Yeah, we saw that.
And then they have somebody taking your money. This is before you even get to the window. And then you get the window and they just hand you your food.
Yeah, no, it's a well-run establishment. But Robbie, you won't go back there?
I can't imagine a situation where we go, oh, let's go get some Chick-fil-A. Probably not.
Can't imagine that situation. But you can imagine saying, oh, let's go get some Checkers.
Oh, we go all the time. We stop at the drive-thru and get the Checkers fries. The Checkers fries are amazing.
Welcome to the show, everybody. No Marcus this week. We'll persevere. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. I had another dream regarding the murder mystery and Joe Robinson. We're going to obviously talk about Robbie's song that debuted at the end of last week's episode. Joe had a situation with Eric Woodworth and wine, which is going to be a funny story. And real quick, shout out to our buddy J.L. Covan from The Righteous Prick. We talked about his new CD last week. Through no help of ours, I'm sure, because it happened before our episode aired. But it went to number one, literally the number one comedy album on iTunes, ousting such people as
Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan, Daniel Tosh, Bill Burr, some heavyweights. Matter of fact, Gaffigan actually tweeted out, you know, to buy, because, you know, they've worked together, I believe, to buy JL's CD. So it got to number one for a while. It was in the top five for at least a full few days. So congratulations, bud. No management, no agent.
In addition to that, it had reviews. It had 73 reviews, which means, by the way, not everybody that buys a CD reviews it. So
we had 73
cool.
5 stars and then one star, which has since been deleted. But of course, it was from someone who goes by the name of let me see.
The real comedian, something like that.
By real comedian. And it says avoid, avoid, avoid. Exclamation point. It refers to JL as angry, misogynistic hater who's over 80 pounds overweight. So
whoever this person was, he didn't like the CD because JL was too fat.
Yeah, I couldn't enjoy it. I just imagine this guy just being so fat. I mean, wouldn't you want a comedian that you hate to be fat? I mean, he'll die soon, right? He's more likely to be dead. That's good. But anyway, welcome to the show. I got to get to this dream because I had this dream Monday night, and of course we record the show Monday night, so then I woke up Tuesday morning, so I've had to sit on it all week. Now, I told this a few weeks ago about the first dream I had regarding you and the murder mystery, and Marcus said he's going to get his buddy on that does she analyzes dreams, and that one was the one where you paid everybody money, Joe, after one of the shows, and you lowered my pay because you claimed I only had one word in the entire production. Although my pay was still $25,000, but the implication here is that I was being shortchanged. Fast forward to last Monday night. I have a dream. You and I, Joe, are at some sort of event. We're at a venue that we are going to have a murder mystery at shortly. The person running this event is none other than Rob Spiewak.
This is his
event. The MC of this event is the late, great Bob Hope. So we have a packed auditorium. We have Rob Spiewak in charge, and we have Bob Hope doing shtick as the MC. I'm not sure what this event is about, what's happening. All I know is that it's packed, and it's the same place that we're about to do a murder mystery. I see some girl running around that works there. I said, hey, do you think you could ask Rob if Joe and I, during an intermission or something, could go out in front and get on the mic and mention the murder mystery? Why I say this to a girl, there's two guys there. They go, what, there's a murder mystery coming here? I go, yeah. They go, we want to go. They literally hand this girl cash. She gives them tickets. So I'm like, wow, we just sold two tickets. This is great. So I'm happy. So intermission happens. Bob Hope, he won't let us use his microphone. So we talked to Spiewak. He says it's okay that we can make an announcement. This is being film. There's cameras. So they're like, there's this like ladder that you climb up, Joe, that allows you to sit on this like piece of construction or something that has these cameras that you can sit in this chair and then move the cameras around and then speak into a microphone. So you climb up there and you're moving the cameras around. You're playing with it. People are like, no, don't do that. Then you talk into the mic about the murder mystery and you're bombing. You're not selling it. You're trying to be funny. It goes on for like a minute. I see the two guys that had bought tickets getting their money back from this girl. So I interrupt you and try to push the murder mystery in a quick, concise way. And then I wake up. What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, that is weird. You have a lot of mistrust regarding me. You know, I've earned your trust, too. That's the thing. But you do. Yeah. You have a lot of mistrust. So you have mistrust with the money. Now you have mistrust with my ability to be funny.
To promote, I think.
Yeah, your next dream is probably going to be about my actual performance in the show.
That will be a nightmare. So. Well, I mean, part of this is because every night I've been getting these updates from a particular venue regarding the numbers, the sales numbers, and they have been making me go to bed unhappy. So that's like been the last thing that I've been seeing a lot of these nights. Like, literally, I read that and then I'm going to sleep just because that just happens to come the email when I usually go to bed. So that's in my head as I'm laying my head down. So that's part of it. But these can't be good. I don't want to be having these dreams. I must have some issues towards you, Joe.
You need to relax over there, man. I mean, here's the deal. I didn't participate as much in this last murder mystery, and you've had to take on a lot more, and you probably don't like that. So, yeah, I mean, I'll be more involved in the next one to try to calm you down, you know. But I can't have you turn it into Robbie, where I got to be afraid around you. I can't have that.
I mean, maybe I'm thinking, why do I even need you? I mean, what are you, you know? I mean, if you died tomorrow, are we going to stop doing the murder mystery? Are we going to miss a beat? I mean, yeah. I mean, what's going to happen, Joe?
Yeah, no. If either one of us died, we could make it happen. We could make it go on.
Yeah, well, let's not find out. So that's my latest dream. I don't want to have another one. I'm tired of these dreams. I want positive, happy dreams. You've been watching the Olympics, Joe, Robbie?
Yeah, I have a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I mean, I love the swimming. I love the gymnastics. I mean,
real quick, Robbie, who's your girlfriend root for?
Oh, good question.
We're talking about the Olympics. I literally have never watched a minute of the Olympics in my entire life, and I don't know that she has either.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You've never watched a minute of any Olympics in your life?
Maybe somebody had, like, ice skating on. They had an event on in a bar I was in, but I've never actually sat and watched the event.
Why not?
Because I'm not interested.
Well, how would you know?
I don't know. I just don't have any interest.
Okay. I mean,
even Scott Apple watches the Olympics.
There's like 100 different events.
It's a matter of national pride, right? I mean, it's going to be something you like. You didn't find curling fascinating. There's no story that ever grabbed your, tugged at your heartstrings. Nothing.
You didn't watch the 80 Olympics? You were the USA hockey? You were probably 13 years old or something?
Yeah, I remember it being a big deal, but I didn't go to a TV to try to see it.
No, I watched the hell out of the 84 Olympics. I'm going to tell you why. The 84 Olympics were in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And McDonald's had a promotion where they had the event, and then if U.S. won a gold, you got a hamburger. If they won a silver, you got a fry. And if they got a, you know, a bronze, you got like a cone or something. Okay. Well, then every Eastern Bloc country boycotted the Olympics. And so the United States, they medaled in every event, and it usually was gold. And we just had all these just coupons just for free food. You don't remember that, Robbie?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
We probably ate $1,000 worth of free McDonald's because of the 84 Olympics.
Do you know famous Olympians, Robbie? Their names?
Yeah, Caitlyn Jenner.
No, you know some more though, right?
Name 10 famous U.S. Olympians in history.
Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Yeah, there's one. Weird first one to go with, but okay. Yeah.
Michael Phelps.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, Jesse Owens.
Okay.
Good. I mean, it's a, you know, classic.
It's historical. That's why.
Yes, of course. You got it.
Oh, yeah. You should know that.
I'm going to struggle after this.
Yeah.
Do you know who Carl Lewis is?
Oh, yeah, Carl Lewis.
You know Mary Lou Retton?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Kathy Rigby?
Yes.
Or Dorothy Hamill.
Yes, yes.
Mark Spitz.
Spitz, yeah.
Yeah, who was that guy with the sparkly costumes who ice skated?
That's every Scott Hamilton. All of them. Yeah, all of them had that. Do you know Michael Jordan?
I forgot about those players. Yeah, they don't count.
That's amazing to me that you've never watched a second. I mean, they're on constantly for every 2 years, really, because now they split them with the winter.
Yeah, well, it's easier for me now because I pre-record pretty much everything I watch, so it's easy for me to avoid.
You know who Usain Bolt is?
Oh, yeah, I know who Usain Bolt is. He's from Nigeria or something like that?
That was, Jamaica. That was from Katie. She just texted me.
Yeah. Well, this is why I'm bringing it up. There's this girl, Maya Dorado. She's a swimmer, American swimmer. She's it's her first Olympics and supposed to be her only Olympics. She's really smart, graduated like really top of their class at Stanford, you know, perfect SAT math score at age like 15. She's already got a husband and a job lined up. I'm sure it's a good job in Atlanta. It's probably a six-figure job. But she wasn't expected. She's sort of been a late bloomer. So she was a good swimmer, but not considered one of the better ones or one of the favorites to win much. And she's won, if I'm correct, 2 golds and a silver and a bronze, including an individual gold and an individual silver. So she's one of the more decorated swimmers in the entire Olympics. But she's supposed to start this 9 to 5 in September. So how do you go from like, I mean, she's getting all this publicity now. She's in the Olympics. You're feeling that excitement. You're winning these medals. People are cheering you. And then in 2 weeks, you're getting coffee because you're the new girl at work. I mean,
well, I'm telling you right now that if she was in, you know, Lithuania, you know, she'd never work again a day in her life. They would carry her wherever she went. But in the United States, that's the crime. I mean, she probably is going to have to go back to work tomorrow. She probably has to work.
You can make money as a swimmer if you're that good. Plus, you'll get more endorsements. Look, she can always get this job, right? Your window of being a elite swimmer or athlete is you have a window because of your age. She's only 21 or 22. She can compete again in 4 years. Why quit and start this job you could have any time?
People talk about, you know, oh, man, they play a game for a living. Who wouldn't want to do that? But swimmers and gymnasts, I mean, their lives are miserable. They spend all their time twirling around, literally all their life. If you're you know, Michael Phelps, you know, you're in the pool every day. You wake up in the crack of dawn. The only time you get out of the pool is to eat, you know, all these pancakes or whatever the hell he eats, and then he goes right back in. It's all day swimming.
No, I get that. But if you're, I mean, Phelps has made swimming much more popular. I mean, you can parlay that into millions of dollars. And then back to your $130,000 year job when you're 25.
I mean, is anybody ever going to break this record that he has, Phelps?
Well, this female, Ledecky, she's looks like she's unbeatable, but I don't know if she swims enough events to. Probably not, no.
You have to swim, and it's always going to be a swimmer because of the amount of events that you can participate in. You can't be the best pole vaulter in the world and also be shot put, you know, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
So you have these guys like Michael, but it will be a swimmer. But he also, this is his
fifth Olympics.
It's his fifth? We were just talking about that the other day. Fifth Olympics? Is that going to happen again?
Well, he started at 15, so you're going to have to start that early, 16, 17, 15, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
Probably not, but Robbie will never know because he won't watch a second. Is there a sport or an event out there? If they made karaoke an Olympic event, Robbie, would you watch?
I doubt it.
You would. You would watch karaoke if it became an Olympic event.
I don't think I would.
Come on.
What they would do if they did that is the song would have a degree of difficulty, like they do with the dives, and then they come out and, this guy's going to sing Under Pressure. All right, this guy, this is serious.
Perhaps you would be judged as favorably as Taylor Jenkins judged you, one of our listeners. Of course, we ended last week with your song, The Bad Touch. Bravo, Robbie. I enjoyed it thoroughly. We put a poll up on our Twitter. You had 4 options of your thoughts on your singing. A, horrible. B, horrible but hilarious. C, okay but hilarious. D, good and hilarious. 46% straight up horrible. 15, horrible, but funny at least. 8, okay. And 31% thought it was a good singing performance and hilarious. So I guess it's about half and half, pretty
much. And those numbers lead me to believe there was a good participation, because there are a lot of crooked numbers. They aren't like 33%.
Well, which I don't think you need, you're not very good at math to think that that's what that means, Joe. We could have five people. It could be 2, 1, 1, and 1. And it would.
No, but then seven. You couldn't get an 8%. No, it doesn't work. Okay. So you're not very good at math, because no, if you have five, it's only going to be in increments of 20. That's was my point. If you have an 8.
How many people do you think is a lot, a good number?
I don't know.
To make your point right, what would you think a number would have to be?
13.
Well, that's exactly right. Okay.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Right. You're not very good at math. Continue.
But Taylor Jenkins on Facebook says, I'll cast my vote for okay and give my music teacher critique. This is a really solid song choice for Robbie's vocal range. Not only is he a baritone like the original singer, but the melody only requires a range of C2 to F2 on the piano keyboard, an interval of a perfect fourth. You don't have to be an amazing singer to pull it off. Like he said on the show, it's practically a lock that the guy who picks Don't Stop Believing, speaking about the Sing for Your Life murder mystery, is going to bomb. This is a better choice for the average male voice. However, Robbie's singing was consistently flat whenever he turned to the chorus between verses. In particular, he always undershot the major second interval from E flat to F on the syllables but and ma'am in the phrase nothing but mammals. I also think his vocal diction was very good. His clear pronunciation of the verses combined with the way his voice stood out in the audio mix actually helped me understand some of the lyrics that I couldn't quite make out in the original. In short, merely an okay performance when played at the end of an episode. On the other hand, if he did it on stage at your shows, he would absolutely crush, especially if he can sell it with some excitement. Stop being dicks and let him sing it on the big stage at McGoobies in front of his friends. There you go. I think this is also someone who's seen one of our murder mysteries, so he can speak to the sensibilities of it. So there you go, Robbie. This is where you say thank you, Taylor.
Yeah, anything. Yeah, no,
I gave him a like on there, and I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
You gave him a like. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't even see it. I didn't. I'm going to have to go and look to seek it out.
I tagged Robbie in this for the response. He doesn't say thank you. He just gives a like. I mean, what a dick. Right?
He didn't like when he called him flat. He didn't like it.
No, I knew I was flat. I could hear that I was flat, and I said, you know, it's good enough, and I just put it out. I swear.
But he took the time to write this long thing, and you couldn't even give his a sentence acknowledging.
Robbie doesn't. He's too good for these fans. I'm just kidding.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk more about your singing. Rob and Joe, she'll be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your life, sing for your life, sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, August 18th at the DC Improv. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
All right, so I'm imagining you're in a situation, Joe, with a new lover, and you're back at her place, your place, whatever the case may be, and you're in control of the music. What actual real song that gets played on the radio would be worse than playing Robbie singing?
Huh. If you were Achy Breaky Heart, would that be worse? It wouldn't, right? It wouldn't be worse. What about Pac-Man Fever? I'm trying to think of like a novelty song. What about like a Weird Al song, as we were discussing?
Weird Al song would be bad. Well, let's say you're getting amorous. Maybe you have some traditional R&B. You've got Marvin Gaye playing. And then the next song comes in. And it's this. At first, he's like, okay, a little upbeat.
Yeah.
Mixing it up a little bit.
It sounds a little bit like the beginning of Right Round by Dead or Alive, which is a cool song.
But then this comes in.
Prince would sing about, so put your hands down my pants, and I'll bet you'll feel nuts. Yes, I'm Cisco.
He's definitely going
to
stop.
And you're
whatever we're doing, right?
You want it rough, you're out of bounds. I want you smothered, want you covered like my Waffle House hash browns. Come up quicker than FedEx, never reach an apex. Just like Coca-Cola stock, you are inclined to make me rise an hour early, just like daylight savings time.
So, it says...
You paid it out.
All right, turn it off. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get much worse.
I'm going to cover you and smother you. I mean, I don't think that's what a girl
but
wants.
It's not that. It's that they're like, what is this? This isn't the original version. You have some sort of cover of this. I'm like, yeah, it's my brother. I mean, the only thing that could be worse.
Explain it. You have to say something, right?
I'd say, oh, this is from my show. It'll be over soon or whatever. I just had it in my, it's on shuffle. I mean, what else could you say? Why else would you be playing it, right? Unless somehow it was just on shuffle and you had that in there. You wouldn't play it on purpose. It would ruin whatever you were trying to do, right?
But what if she asks you, why do you even own it? I mean, why do you even have this?
Well, I would tell the real story, right?
Is it worse to play Hail to the Redskins?
No, unless, you know, she's a big Cowboys fan or something.
What if she's a Native American?
Well, I was thinking about that. You know, there's those... what's his name, Robbie? The country singer who was in jail and David Allen Coe. And has those really racist songs. I mean, that would clearly be worse. Or some of that stuff they play on the Howard Stern show, Johnny Reb or whatever, that Johnny Rebel. What's that guy called, Robbie?
Yeah, I think it is Johnny Rebel.
Yeah, Johnny Rebel. That would be worse.
Okay, but let's stay away from that. Let's play songs that would actually be played on Top 40 radio. So there's not going to be any cursing or any.
Are you going to count like a Christmas song that might play?
Yes.
So that would be, you know, at least this is a popular song. It's just a different version of it by my brother.
You are with a woman for the first time and you have either one of two songs have to play to the end. That song by Robbie or any song off the Chipmunks Christmas album. And it's not Christmas.
What would be worse?
No, I'm saying you have to pick one of those to play.
I mean, they're
going to
stop. If either one plays, it's going to stop. I guess I'd rather... the Robbie thing play, how loud is it playing too? I mean, you know, if it's because the Chipmunks, you're going to hear the Chipmunk voice. But with Robbie, you'll hear the music part and you're going to be like, all right, this is a little, you know, this got a good beat or whatever. And then just maybe if you keep it low enough.
I have one that's definitely worse than mine.
Okay.
If this came on, it'd be worse. Paul Anka, You're Having My Baby.
Well, the baby thing, that is weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they mentioned abortion in that song as well.
They do?
Yes. You could have swept it from your life. But you wouldn't do it?
I think I'd rather hear the Chipmunks Christmas album by the Chipmunks than Robbie's song. I think I could explain it better.
Oh, yeah. You're like, oh, no. Yeah, just to say it's on shuffle, but it's still, I think it is easier to explain the Chipmunks. Because if Robbie, you'd have to tell the whole story. You know what I mean? The Chipmunks, you can just say,
it's... lie. You can make up whatever story you want.
But if you told the real story... I have the Chipmunks. I have it on for Christmas and it's, you know, my kids like it. Whatever. You could get away with that. But Robbie, you'd have to tell the whole story. From the show to the argument to the being played till Taylor Jenkins. You'd have to tell it all.
I have to admit, Robbie, after hearing you sing this, I do wish that we had selected you.
Thank you.
I'd forgotten how ridiculous the lyrics were. And I'm curious, though, when you perform this song, you know, during the music part, are you dancing? Are you bobbing your head? Are you tapping your feet? Are you playing?
I've actually seen Robbie perform this one time.
What is your move? What's your stage presence like?
It depends on the crowd.
Well, the other night that we had there, like 200 people were there.
I don't know what I would have done. I just do whatever feels right at the time.
You don't really dance. I've seen you do this.
I don't dance. I definitely don't dance.
Okay. Well, thank you, Robbie, for sharing that. Joe, do me a favor and mix that in with your Katie lovemaking.
She wouldn't
allow
it.
She wouldn't allow it.
No, no.
What do you think she would do?
No, we've listened to it a bunch of times. I mean, she would not she would not allow that to happen.
Our good friend Eric Woodworth, he is in the murder mystery, comedian, Coco Lane. He I didn't even know you were invited to this, but about a month or so ago, he says, "Hey, you know, my wife does these wine party things where she, you know, there's a wine tasting and then she tries to sell you wine, some, you know, Tupperware thing."
He said that to you?
Yeah, yeah, it's something. It went, you know, they have like a makeup party. I don't know what it's called, but it's,
no. But I'm saying, is that how he told you about it?
Yes, and he told me the date, and he said that me and Tawana were specifically requested, and I said it sounds good, but then I couldn't get out of the teaching job, and it was, and I said, because in the afternoon, can we do it at night? And he goes, it's gonna have to be there in the day. I had no idea that you were involved in this at all. So then I talked to you today, Joe, and
well, he says to me, hold on, I got to find it. I want to tell you what he said to me when he asked me to come to it. Hold on, we're getting there.
All right.
Okay, I can't find it. Oh, I think because maybe Katie and I were both copied on it. But he just said to me, hey, there's a wine tasting at my house on this date. Would you like to come? Well, I just thought I was being invited by friends over to their house. I don't drink wine. I mean, I would never drink a glass of wine in my entire life. But I want to hang with my friends. I didn't know this was Pampered Chef candlelight. I didn't know that, right? Now, full disclosure, I would have come anyway. And I love Eric's wife, and obviously I love Eric. So I would have come anyway, and I also had a good time. But as soon as I got there, I was like, this isn't a party. This is this. They're selling me something. It's like Amway. So now Katie, you know, she'll drink wine. But now, I mean, I'm like, well, I wish you would have told me what it was, because I was started out by saying immediately, you know, I don't drink wine. Now, I did say when I got there, I go,
don't say how much money you spent, because I want Robbie not to guess. Okay, so continue.
So I said, when I drank it, I made it clear. I go, you know, this is the first glass of wine I've had all year. This is it. It's August. I haven't had one glass of wine this entire year. So I'm letting them know I don't drink wine. And of course, now she's taking it really seriously. So I don't want to goof off because, you know, I mean, she obviously loves wine and she wants us to be treated with some amount of respect. She's talking about how to pair the wines with different things. And again, I want to make sure that I make this clear. I had a really good time. It was a blast.
So hold on. This is like Sideways and you're the guy from Wings. You're that guy.
Right, right. Exactly. That's exactly who I am. And so we drank. Now, by the way, I hate red wine. I hate it. I don't even like wine in general. But at least white wines are fruity. They taste like, you know, maybe a wine cooler. That's what I really want.
Right.
And the first three are red. And I'm just like, it's horrible. Right.
Saying, though? Are you giving an opinion?
I'm not. Katie's the one that's rating the wine. I'm not rating it. You know, I'd be like 0, 0, 0, 0. You know what I mean? I'm not going to give it anything good.
I give it a 9, an 8, and a 9.
Yeah. They had food there. So, I mean, I was enjoying the food. But, you know, he said, this is good with chocolate. Good. Perfect. Because I want some chocolate, you know, and eating an eclair and cheeses and all kinds of stuff. And they said, hey, whatever you like better with this wine, it tells you something about your palate. So I'm like, all right. So I ate cheese and she told me I like that better. And she told me what that meant. But meanwhile, I just want to eat the cheese. The wine is not even part of what I want. I would never drink the wine.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And I will also say that there was two other couples there that I really liked. I really like Eric's sister and Eric's sister's husband. I mean, they're really funny and they're really cool. So I really had a good time hanging out with those guys. We stayed like 2.5 hours. You know, it wasn't like we just rolled because
I wish we could have made it. Well, let's guess, Robbie. I know that you spent some money. I'm guessing that you spent.
Can I tell you how many bottles of wine I bought first? Because that might help.
Well, I wanted to guess that also.
Okay.
I'm guessing you bought two bottles and you spent $25.
Okay. So you
hold
you
on. Got, Robbie's going to guess.
Okay.
I think he bought at least three, maybe four, and spent $50.
So you're both wrong. We bought one bottle of wine. However, Robbie is very close to the price.
Oh, you spent $40.
Yeah, 41 something is what. And by the way, Katie spent it. And I'll drink the wine when it gets here. It tastes like almost like, you know, fruit juice. But you know what I like better than a wine that tastes like fruit juice?
Fruit juice.
Yeah, fruit juice. Fruit juice is way better.
Would you rather they had a fruit juice tasting?
I would rather have just known. That's all. Just tell me what I'm walking into, you know, because I still would have gone.
Right. What if it was a Slurpee tasting? Would you rather?
Oh God, are you kidding me? I would. Like, by the way, I already know that Coke Slurpee is the best. You're not going to do better than Coke. But
they would pair the Slurpees with like candy and stuff.
Yes, this pairs well with a Snickers.
I would go to that. By the way, so you spend $40 on one bottle of wine. Is this going to be a special occasion? Are you gonna?
No. Just by the way, it's not the bottle of wine itself only costs like $20-something, and then there's tax and shipping, and that's what got it to 41. Should be arriving shortly.
Jeez. So I got to bring money. Because, see, Tawana wants to have a get-together here at the house. So she's probably going to do that. She's going to get Eric's wife. That's why I didn't feel as guilty for not being able to be there. Because we're going to give her business.
And then Katie can come here. Oh, I'll go again, by the way.
No, I don't think I'm allowed to go. I think it's a girl's thing.
Oh, I'll bet Katie goes.
Well, yeah, she's a girl. She's on the
short. It was fun. And I even like drinking the wines, you know, even though I didn't really enjoy them that much. And I like hanging out with those guys. So that was... But again, I wish, you know, he had just said, hey, you know, this isn't a party. You're not my friend. I'm just trying to sell you something. I'd like to have known that early.
Is there a guy equivalent for these things? Are they all female deals?
Fantasy Football League is the guy equivalent. No, you never have guys over. Every once in a while, you know, somebody say, hey, I'm trying to come over and meet with you. And then they're trying to sell you Amway. But for the most part, that hasn't happened to me in my entire life. Has that happened to you, Robbie?
No.
But women, Pampered Chef, candlelight, sex toys, wine, Tupperware. I mean, it never stops.
Jewelry.
All of it. Purses.
There's got to be a guy thing, right? We have to be into something.
Well, we have fantasy sports.
Oh, I mean, like a beer, make your own beer kit or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but you wouldn't invite it. Guys don't do that. If you said, hey, everybody, let's get together. And then you're like, hey, let me demonstrate how this, you know, I mean, people would be annoyed. But girls,
you're telling me there's
like
not
kind of
one. There's got to be one thing out there.
Book club, girls. All that stuff's for girls.
But why is that? Are we just not interested in as many things?
I don't know. I think if you speculate, you're a sexist, right?
Is it just that we don't think spending money is fun? Maybe that's it.
I don't know. I guarantee you there's somebody the equivalent of Taylor Jenkins who knows something about, you know, the consumer who might be able to tell us, or maybe pack mentality of some kind.
Well, now I'm curious. I want to start one.
You mean like where you try to sell somebody something?
Yeah, I invite guys over and we have like a party and I try to, we taste out something or... try something. Maybe it's like something to do with, I bet you there's something to do with grilling. Guys are into grilling. There's got to be some special meats and some grilling apparatuses.
Well, they do have those Omaha steaks where guys will come around, you know, in a truck and try to sell you steak door to door. That happens.
I bet you there's a guy, he comes over, he has some choice cuts of meat and he grills some stuff up for you. You try different things. He has some fancy knives. Some fancy grilling. Maybe he's got some fancy grill plates. I don't know. Something.
If somebody invited you over for a barbecue,
yeah,
and then they start trying to sell you knives or grillware, you'd be pissed, right?
Well, you don't look. These things don't happen as a. You don't sneak up on them. They know that going into it. You probably just didn't look. You also went to an opera thinking it was an opera. It was a friggin' class.
No. You can get me to come. So I'm not saying that.
You could just be an idiot. Is what I'm saying.
No, you can trick me there. That's a fact.
But
Katie,
I don't want to trick.
Texted me craft beer. Do guys do that? I think guys are interested in craft beer, but I don't think there's some sort of marketing program behind craft beer that where you invite a bunch of guys over and sell them these little.
What about lawn care?
Stills.
Guys are into lawn care.
What?
I don't know.
You think you get a group of guys together to sell them to talk about what head? You know, a weed whacker? No, you're not.
Yes,
no,
I do.
Not going to happen.
Well, I want it to happen.
Maybe sports memorabilia. Maybe that.
Maybe somebody comes over and yeah, he tells them how much their stuff is worth.
Yeah, OJ went to one of those parties, wound up in jail, I think.
Yeah. Not exactly how it went down, but yeah, basically you ended up in jail. So Gramps, dearly beloved Gramps, he sent you, he's now giving you content to tell about him, right, Joe?
He sent me three stories. They're pretty good stories.
They're
I'll
solid.
Figure I'd read.
They're solid.
I read one a week. I'm going to give you just the subject matter And then you you tell me which one you want to hear. I think there's one is definitely a rung below the other two.
And these are true stories about his life that he wants to share with our listeners.
Correct. There's okay. one about somebody calling, and it was a fake call like Katie got where they act like you're in trouble with the IRS.
Right.
There's another one, what he says to people when he sells insurance.
Yeah, I like that one.
And then there's one about going up to a client's door and she had a bipolar disorder.
I like that middle one. It's sort of like that situation where he says he's going to whip his customer.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, we'll go with that one.
It's also the shortest one of the three. One thing I always do when I'm talking to a couple who are prospects is say to the woman, I don't understand why a woman as pretty as you is with a guy this ugly. Tish, that's his wife, thinks it's going to get me beat to death. I've said it to at least 100 couples, and all I get is a good laugh. He's literally walking. By the way, my father works in the inner city. This means he is going up to African-Americans. I mean, it's not like he's going, there are white people where he is, and he's saying, and he's calling the guy ugly, and he's then trying to sell them insurance. And he's saying it's 100 for 100 is what he's saying.
I want Gramps to lead up this this barbecue grill selling thing that I'm putting together.
He might be able to. He goes in and goes, first of all, you're all ugly.
You're ugly. You know what makes an ugly man feel better? A nice piece of steak. I love that Gramps wants people to know that when he first meets a couple, he makes a point to call the man ugly. Isn't that sort of also insulting the woman, though, that she chose an ugly man?
Well, clearly he's trying to make a joke, but much like me, by the way, I just put my foot in it again. I can't remember. Maybe if Katie's listening, she'll remember. But I said something to somebody who immediately was put off by me. So maybe my father has better instincts than I do talking to other people. Because like I would never go up and go, hey, you're ugly and your girl's hot. I would never say that.
No one would ever say that. What you say is, first of all, I don't think you say that at all. You don't compliment her looks. That seems unprofessional to begin with. But since he's older, he can get away with it. But if you are going to say that, you say something to the effect, boy, how did you say to the guy, man, you're lucky to get this one. She's gorgeous. And, you know, you look like me or something. You don't just say, hey, you're ugly.
Yeah, right. My father is not that. He doesn't deprecate himself in any way.
No.
He literally looks at another guy and says, you're ugly. And he says, now let me sell you some life insurance. Right. He's like the guy from Groundhog Day, Ned Ryerson.
He's the best. Last thing, a little bit of a short show tonight. Sorry, we apologize. But Tawanda, from time to time, this comes up because we're watching Netflix. And she loves the episode where you, or both of us, Joe, but we called Robbie out for not being a Netflix streaming subscriber. He gets the DVDs mailed to him. And I tried to find the episode because I wanted to replay it. And this is a plug, but it's also real. The Podbean podcast app that we told you about last week, I've downloaded it on my phone. And I was able just to scroll back. And boom, here this is, this episode from July 22nd, 2015, called A Very Joe Thing to Do, where you talk about it. And we sort of make fun of the fact that Robbie thinks it's more convenient to go to the mailbox and get a DVD.
What's interesting about that is, like, even my father doesn't know how to use an ATM. This is the truth. My stepmother, when he needs money, he goes, hey, I need, you know, $40. She drives to the bank, boop, 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 puts the money, you know, gets the money out, hands it to him. Okay. But my father will not defend that as if that's the right way to do it. He's like, yeah, obviously that's, you know, you understand, he gets it.
Right.
He's not going to defend it like it's his son. But that's the way that Robbie treated the idea of going to the mailbox, pulling out removable media, putting it into there. And so that had to be at least a year ago, right?
It was July 22nd, 2015. So it's a year ago, pretty much in a couple of
weeks. Oh, wow, like a year and a month.
So Robbie, have you upgraded to Netflix streaming?
No, I didn't defend it as though it was a better way for everyone. I just think it's more convenient for me because I have so much content to get through. I have plenty of content. If I ever want to go see a movie, I have a DVD there that I have waiting for me. And it's a lot cheaper than the streaming to get that DVD, by the way. Now, I will get streaming on occasion. I'll subscribe for like a month. I subscribe to Hulu to watch that Stephen King miniseries, and I'll probably get the Netflix streaming specifically to watch that. What's the one everybody's watching now? Something Things.
Stranger Things.
Yeah, we started watching it. Stranger Things. We broke up with it already.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Okay, so maybe
it's okay.
Maybe I won't get Netflix streaming then. See, I will only get it if there's something that I can only, like Ricky Gervais had a couple of series on Netflix that I just got it long enough to consume those things that are only on Netflix, and then I give it up.
Well, here's the thing that surprises me about Robbie is that the reason most people don't get Netflix streaming is because they're not technologically sophisticated enough. Like the reason my father has me, you know, put links on his desktop because he doesn't know how to use Google. But Robbie knows how to do everything. Robbie and Justin Schlegel are the two people that they know how to do everything.
And Robbie loves TV.
Yeah, and he loves television. Yeah, yeah.
Well, what you're describing, though, Robbie, that seems more complicated to me. I'd rather just pay that money than not have to constantly subscribe.
I'm going to defend Robbie a little bit because he's right. Because Robbie doesn't want to go onto Netflix and try to figure out what to watch. Robbie already knows what he wants to watch. Robbie already knew he hated Chick-fil-A before he ate it. He's not going to make another trip. He knows things ahead of time.
I didn't hate it.
So everything is appointment for him. And so it's tough to win Robbie over. And by the way, I've said this before, if Robbie makes a decision and it's subjective, good luck changing his mind. I mean, he's literally like 999 for 1,000 and not changing his mind.
Yeah, to say it's tough is you're underselling it. It's basically impossible. So, but real quick, I haven't heard anyone not like it, but you're not a fan of Stranger Things, Joe? I haven't seen it, so I can't speak to it.
I probably needed to give it more of a chance. I watched 3 episodes. It's okay. I guess the way it was built up, it's not as good as it had been sold to me.
Right. Where do you?
We'll probably finish watching it. I mean, we started. We finished watching Orange is the New Black, and that's horrible now.
Well, I don't think you really like any of the Netflix original shows, it sounds like.
I'm trying to think what I saw that I've liked. I liked the first season of Orange is the New Black. I didn't love House of Cards. I didn't. I thought it was okay. What else is on there? The show with the guy from Friday Night Lights, we started watching it. I couldn't get into that either.
Bloodline.
Yeah.
You've got the superhero ones, the blind guy.
I watched all of Jessica Jones. It was a bad show.
It's Transparent. No,
that's Amazon. You didn't watch Daredevil?
I watched like the first episode or two. Again, I watched all of Jessica Jones. People told me it was good. It's not.
Why would you do that when Daredevil's much better, supposedly?
I guess I'll start watching Daredevil again. I don't know. I've never fallen in love with anything I've seen on there. By the way, I love shit. Like, I love Homeland. I love Game of Thrones. I love Breaking Bad. Like, I like that. If I fall in love with the show, I'll follow it all the way to the end. But, you know, sometimes I'm just like, all right, like next season of Orange is the New Black, I will not watch. It's lost me. It's so bad now.
I've only seen the first two seasons, and I love the first two seasons, but
yeah,
I've heard it.
Don't watch again. Yeah, you're done. Be done.
All right, guys. Hey, this is the big week at the DC Improv this Thursday night. 7:30 p.m. Sing for Your Life, a murder mystery, the full cast. It's a great venue for us. We've sold it out the last two times. We're trying to make it 3 for 3. Go to dcimprov.com directly for tickets. And then the following week, we're heading up to Philadelphia to Helium on the 24th. So just to keep abreast of everything, dielaughingproductions.com. And announcing soon, well, I can just say it now, Richmond. We're going to be at the Richmond Funny Bone Sunday, September 25th, doing the Newly Dead game. So we'll talk more about that when it's closer. But for all of you in the D.C. area, if you can make it out this Thursday night, the 18th, D.C. Improv. And then anyone in Columbus, Ohio, I will be at the Columbus Funny Bone with my main man, David Koechner, my officially most famous friend, David Koechner, this Friday to Sunday. And that's that. Later, guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.